So I read them on.
I have to check to see if it's actually me.
It's still there.
Oh, it's, yeah. That's a good, thanks, Scott. Make, way to make you feel comfortable. Is it still there?
So I can't talk out there. Silk contact, ever the Highlands Council.
Oh, you that talk.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the 49th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. And I'd like to welcome Bill Codger, our newest member, to this first meeting. I'll also start by congratulating both Bill Codger and Jack Schreier on their victories in Tuesday's primary.
Thank you, Chair.
All council members on the ballot were successful. Members of the council introduce themselves.
Jack Schreier, Morris County Freeholder. Still.
Scott Whitenack, public member from Morrison.
Debbie Pasquarelli, Greenwich Township, Warren County.
Bill Cocker, Mayor of Chester Township.
Jazz Kovach, Town Clinton, Henry County.
Taisha Wade, Passaic County Freeholder.
On the phone?
Tracy Carluccio, public member, Hunterdon County.
Okay, and walking in the door is Tim Dillingham. We have nine members. This meeting has been advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act and publicized on the council's website. All who wish, please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't believe there are any members of the public here who haven't been here before, but just in case, their information about this meeting, including the agenda, is on the table as you came in. The only things I want to mention in my report are we've scheduled another meeting of the council for a week from today at 3 o'clock, June 14th. That's Thursday. To deal with a couple of items that will come up during the course of today's discussion. So I hope as many of you as possible will be able to be present at that, either physically or on the phone if you can't be here. And also, I added Scott Whitenick to the Natural Resources Committee. And so there will be one more member on that committee henceforth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the minutes of the meeting of May 10th.
Right. Is there a second? Can you show a second on that? Welcome to Liz Calabrese. Any comments on the minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay, so Carter and Janice go back the same.
I'm also
Tadisha, so I don't think we quite have any votes.
Extensions go.
Extensions go with the jury?
We have this for the
okay.
Next call, Jerry.
Tahisha, Janice, and Bill. Tom, do they pass?
I defer to the newly appointed parliamentarian.
All right. Good. All right. The other members can
vote. Affirmative vote of 8 required.
I think we had this debate before, and we figured out when it came to minutes we had to.
Yeah, any vote requires affirmative vote of 8.
Somebody
will
choose.
Tom, can you clarify? I've heard this many times from people who have not been present for the meeting to which the minutes are being considered. If you believe the minutes to be substantially correct, that you could vote on. Is that
yes.
Okay. I recommend it. I'll vote to
okay. All right. So then we have eight votes in favor and 2 abstentions. So.
Bill's in favor.
Okay. All right. Other members of the council have items they wish to report on? Then we will turn to the executive director's report.
Good afternoon, all, and thank you. Just want to give you a quick, brief update on what we've been up to in the last month since we last saw you. The major focus of the work has been the categorization of the public comments and populating the database so the staff and council can begin the work of deciding how the comments influence the final plan. And I have on your members-only website, I did put that information up there for you to start looking at. However, it is a work in progress. We're still continuing. We did categorize all the comments. We're at the point now of consolidating those comments. We've also been working on setting up procedures for the wastewater management plan amendments and redevelopment site approvals. TDR basis for allocation of credits is ongoing work, contract work for data collection and analysis. Grant applications and monitoring continues. Continued work on prioritized tasks for final plan. Many informational meetings, I'll give you more information on that in a minute, and the ongoing coordination with state agencies. Two things I did want to bring to your attention from a staffing perspective. Debbie Lawler, a planner from the Netherlands, has been with us for some time. We'd be very grateful for her help. She is finishing up with us on June 14th. And returning to, because she is needed at the Netherlands, and so they're calling her back. But I would like to thank her. Is Debbie here with us? I will let her know that I want to just extend our gratitude to her and to Bob Severio, the Executive Director of the Netherlands, for lending us Debbie and for all her work in assisting us to the draft final plan and in the ongoing work. She was very helpful as well on the public comments, the categorization of those. Also to let you know that on Monday, June 11th, Paula Dees will be starting work with the council as my executive assistant. And Paula comes with a great background in work such as the commission that the Highlands Council has undertaken. She's worked with the Upper Raritan Watershed Association and most recently with New Jersey Water Supply Authority and has done a lot of work on managing acquisition for both those agencies. So she'll be starting with us on Monday if you so approve. Various committee meetings have met. There have been various committee meetings over the last month, and you'll be getting reports on those from the chairs. I wanted to go back again to the public comments and let you know where we are on that. First with acknowledgement letters, letters to the counties acknowledging receipt of their comments. Those letters have gone out. To all the various municipalities, acknowledgement letters have gone out. We're currently working on the legislators and the state agencies to give them a response. Anybody who submitted comments by email got an automatic response. Those are the ones that we will be acknowledging with a formal letter. Altogether, we received some 3,000 comments, or a little over that. But when you take into consideration that sometimes those are broken out into block and lot, where there'd be a sort of a group from one town that could be consolidated back together again. So that's why I say that work is ongoing. The comments have been categorized into 47 different topics based on the draft regional master plan. Those comments have then been entered into a database and have been made available, the work in progress has been made available to you. We're also ready at this point to put those comments up in some form on the website so that the public can now have a look at them. And what I'd like to do is show you how we propose to do that. So I'd like to ask Paddy to come up. And if you wouldn't mind, just it'll only take a couple of moments, but moving back so that you'll be able to see the screen. And we'll take you through how the public will be able to utilize it. I would like to once again though say that this again is a work in progress, so the public will be aware that we're going to show you what you'll be able to do as of next week. If the council approves, we'll post this. But we'll be continuing to work on it, and there'll come a point where we'll be able to share the consolidated comments. So first of all, it starts with, thank you very much, Tom, the legal disclaimer, and then moves into an index of the categories so that you can see 1 through 47, how we divided up the comments under the various categories. And then it moves into the actual information sorted by category, and then you see last name, first name. Some of these database areas are only filled in if relevant, if we have the information, such as affiliation, municipality, county of interest. You will see then what category they fell into. Now, for one particular person, you may have many categories. So what Patty's going to do is show you then, in this case, she's showing you how you can go to the original submission.
She's here.
Okay, there she is.
All right. So there's
yours. So you'll be, anybody from the public then will be able to look at the original document. If it was submitted in writing, obviously it's the original document. If it was at a public hearing, it's then what was taken from the public hearing. As you know, you lose some in transcription. But that gives you an idea then of what it looks like. Now, just to show you for category, if you can search under a category for us, Patty. She's chosen to look at steep slopes. She goes under search, and you see to the right of the search engine, you'll see all the different ways that steep slopes has come up. And you can search then and look and see what different people have said about the issues. And again, back to the original document on steep slopes. It takes a second to load, and there you are. It's from a gentleman in the public. Matt Curtis is just one of the staff. This is who it was sent to here. But again, that gives you the ability then to look at the original document. And next, we'll have a look under township, for example. So if you typed in the name of a township, you can search there and see everything that came up. In this case, it's for Harmony Township. And the original document submitted in this case. So you'd be able to click on those items and see what was brought in from the Township of Harmony, their comments. Okay, if we look then under name, Patty, if you could go back out, please. So if you wanted to search under an individual's under an individual name, in this case you chose Epstein, and you'll see that there's it found two places. It found David Epstein, and it also found Cummins Epstein and Gross, the firm. So again, you can search, and you'll see that under Epstein, then you'll notice that there's more than one, so it obviously falls under different categories. So if you search under a name, you may find it in many places as it's been categorized, because maybe that person hit on various categories. So at this point in time, we'll be tidying this up. We'd be ready to put this on the website next week if the council felt that they would approve this. And I think it gives them the ability to the public to go online and have a look at some of the comments, see what was submitted to us, and then follow the process through. Patty, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There were various municipal and county outreach meetings during the last month. We met with the Highlands County Planners, which is a regularly scheduled meeting. There was a meeting at the
president. I'm so shy.
Boy, way, I didn't realize entertainment was on the agenda, but I liked that. We had a meeting with Senator Littell in his office at his request, just to go over some issues related to the impact of the Highlands Act and also to discuss progress on the plan. We had informational meetings with Holland Township, with Teaneck Township in Bergen County, that was particularly on TBR, Washington Township, Clinton Township, and Mansfield Township. There were various state and federal agency coordination meetings with NJDOT and Transit, with the Smart Growth Policy Team meeting, which is from the Office of Smart Growth. They lead on that. Council met with Assemblywoman Linda Greenstein and Assembly staff Susan Kraft of the State Agricultural Development Committee and Debbie Manns of the Governor's Office to go over the proposed TDR expansion bill. And I believe that will be heard before the Assembly Committee on June 14th, if anyone's interested in attending that. Council staff participated in COA outreach sessions in Trenton, the EPA Wastewater Conference, and had a meeting with Commissioner Jackson to go over various items with the Department of Environmental Protection. There were also meetings with the Office of Smart, both the DEP and NJDOT, to discuss standards for build-out analysis, and a meeting with New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection regarding wastewater management issues. So staff have been very busy, both from the informational perspective and from more meeting on coordination. With stakeholder coordination, we've had meetings with the Houston County Chamber of Commerce and the Raritan Highlands Compact. There was also a meeting with the State Agricultural Development Committee, held a meeting with appraisers, and both myself and Jeff Lajava went to that meeting and presented there. There are many upcoming meetings, but I will report on them at the next meeting. So that's basically what we've been up to in the last month. Once again, I would like to thank the staff for all their assistance and their hard work in moving on all of these different items. And to tell you that in general, I will say that when we go out to the public to have these informational meetings, they're very successful. People are very grateful that we make the effort, that we are accessible, and it starts a line of communication that benefits us in getting more information from them, which will help us in informing us on final plan. So that's my report for this month, and thank you.
Sure. You asked for council approval to put the minutes on the website. I think unless there's objection, that's great. It's great that all the work that went into categorizing them, and now the easy part will come up for the council to figure out the responses to them. But I assume there's no objection to doing that. As Eileen mentioned, a number of committees reported met over the last month, and I'll report on the first two, and others can chime in. Personnel committee met today. We discussed some changes to the bylaws that we concluded are necessary, and we'll recommend to the full council for consideration. Under our bylaws, we need to provide the council with at least 10 days notice for any changes to the bylaws, so we will not do that, discuss them until the July meeting, which is July 12th, I believe, at 10 o'clock. So you'll all get them in advance and can see those changes and see if you think they make sense and if others are needed as well. We discussed the continuing effort to hire new staff for the council. We've had openings posted both on the website and have done advertising for positions and have received a number of responses, and staff is going to begin doing interviews next week for some of those positions. As Eileen mentioned, she's prepared to hire Paula Dees to be a new executive assistant. Under our bylaws at the moment, the council should approve all hiring. And I think in our packets we have a resume for her. I'd entertain a motion to approve her hiring.
I'll move
that.
Second
by Janice. Any comments, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Okay. I should welcome Kurt Allstad, who's joined us. And Kurt, you should know Tracy Carluccio is on the phone. So we are 11 members here. And that was what happened in the personnel committee meeting. The Plan Development Committee, Plan Development and Local Conformance Committee met last week, and pretty much everything we discussed forms much of the agenda for the rest of the meeting. We discussed several contracts and recommended their that they be forwarded to the full council for approval, one on transfer of development rights real estate analysis, one on water resources analysis, and one for a bring on board a regional planning firm. We also went over a report, which I believe is in one of the members' packets, looking at county county approval, data available from counties on developments approved and underway in 2005 and 2006, which doesn't completely give an indication of the impact of the Highlands Act, but starts to look at the kind of data we're going to need to make an assessment of the Act over time as time develops and as the plan gets completed. But this was data the council had asked for and the staff put together, and we can have it. And the final thing we discussed was the public comments, which we just went over here. The Budget and Finance Committee met, Debbie?
Yes, Budget and Finance Committee met on May 31st. You don't have a report in your packet because we're still tinkering with the actual chair report, but you will receive it sometime probably next week. But just to highlight the key findings and what I think is most relevant for our meeting today, we reviewed the operating budget, and to say simply, we are on track. Fiscal year ends the end of this month, and we're within budget. Overall, from an operating standpoint. Also, we have a separate regional master plan budget, looked at the actual expenditures there also versus budgeted amounts. Again, we are on track, we're within budget. And that particular budget we had to review because there is a proposal, and we'll be addressing it later in the meeting today, for contracts to be awarded. Relative to the regional master plan, and the budget finance subcommittee had a review of available funds and budgeted amounts and concluded that sufficient funds do exist to pursue all three contracts that we'll be considering later at the amounts proposed. Let's see, we also, just to provide an update, that the fiscal year 08 budget will be the state planning budget cycle is such that the state budget will be finalized at the end of this month. At that point in time, we'll know what our appropriation is for fiscal year 08. And once we have that, we'll be preparing operating and again regional master plan budget for consideration by the council in the near future. That is all.
Thank you. Transfer Development Rights Committee, Scott?
Okay, briefly, we met 2 weeks ago, and we discussed or continue to discuss, you know, the item that's been taking most of our efforts up so far, which was the anticipation of entering into a contract that is one of our resolutions that are in our package tonight. It was to help us, you know, we need help in creating our allocation method, so we do feel that we've identified a contractor that can help us with that. We took action, we passed it on to the Plan Development Committee, as John had mentioned, so that is ready to go to resolution tonight. We also discussed at that committee meeting what Eileen had mentioned before, which was a amendment to the state TDR Act, so we are aware of that and monitoring that, and I assume that Eileen, Tom will be bringing any information they have as soon as they have it back to us on that. And then the third thing that we discussed was the TDR Receiving Zone Feasibility Grant Program. We know we have a couple towns identified as looking like they're willing to participate, and hopeful for more. And that was about it.
And that application process is still open, right? The towns that are interested in applying for this.
Right.
Natural Resources Committee?
Mr. Chairman, we met last Thursday, I guess, the 31st.
and we continued with our review of the processes to the council to review wastewater management plan amendments. Basically the guidance and rules prior to the adoption that we'll use prior to the adoption of the regional management plan. As you mentioned, it's a fairly complex conversation, and I think it's fairly well laid out in the chair's report. Most of the discussion focused on the idea of setting thresholds for different types of reviews to try to address the question of both making sure the council has input appropriately into some of these reviews, as well as balancing out the staff's need to move the process forward in a timely manner. So there's a table attached to the back of the chair's report that discusses and lays out the recommended review thresholds that we went through. Fundamentally, there are three: a staff recommendation to report to the committee and the council, a more substantive review by the committee itself with a report up to the council, and then the very large projects or proposals, which are termed area-wide wastewater management plan amendments, as well as other ones which may have some significance or other characteristic to them that the committee feels ought to be reviewed by the council as a whole, being done through the council resolution with recommendations from the committee. And I think we felt that reflected the conversation we had last time at the full council meeting about how we'll proceed with this. I think a couple of other things just to note were we discussed how wastewater management plans that are concurrent with the Highlands Redevelopment Area approvals should go forward. We talked about the need to make sure that applicants are notified that the council is going to be reviewing their application, particularly because these are referrals from the DEP and often have some time lag between when folks take them paying attention to them. And then we discussed exempt projects and came up with some recommendations how to narrow or review on those. And spent a fair amount of time making sure that the application procedures that we're discussing are consistent with the requirements of the DEP, which has a parallel and preceding process to govern these things as well. And then lastly, we talked about the idea that since restrictions on where building can happen on places or areas that are affected by the plans often are restricted through deed or conservation restrictions, we discussed the idea of talking to the Department of Agriculture in particular about enforcement of agricultural related easements on farmlands. It's one, they have the infrastructure to do that, and they're more familiar with those aspects of the program. So that's my report.
So at this point, the table is a recommendation to the council? Not quite a recommendation.
I think we are going to finalize the entire document and give you all 68 pages of it, or whatever the number was. But obviously most of the conversation, a lot of it is procedural, you know, process, how to assess conformity with the plan. But since the council had a discussion specifically about which ones ought to be reviewed by the council as a whole, thought it appropriate for that table at this time.
I just have a question about the table. The very top line staff, I guess that top category. I'm not sure I understand the difference between a WMP revision, a site-specific WMP amendment, and an area-wide WMP amendment. You could just clarify.
Those are all terms of art in the, to the extent that there isn't art involved here. In the review, so the revisions and modifications tend to be minor, and I, you know, I'm out of the limb a little bit to give you all the technical background on it. But site-specific amendments are projects usually, and then area-wide are what they sound like, usually entire towns, if not larger.
Okay, so then what would be those last two? I thought I sort of get it. Then what's a WMP revision or modification that isn't one of the other two? I'm having trouble conceptualizing what that is.
If you just think of them as a ladder, maybe Steve is here. If he wants to clarify for us, but the revisions are usually very small volumes, There was one changing from an on-site septic system to a larger gallonage. It's fairly minor activities that don't require an entire re-review of the environmental issues or the wastewater flow issues.
I concur.
I was saying, you don't have to.
That's essentially it. A revision or modification is a correction of an existing facility.
Which could be either area-wide municipal. It could be either or. The distinction is not the area of involvement, it's the significance.
It's correcting errors in the plan that don't result in any changes of use or expansion of use.
There are three levels, Debbie, and so the revisions and modifications are really small and corrections. Then you get site-specific, which are project-based, and then area-wide, which involve
municipalities.
Right. And what we tried to do was scale the council's review and involvement in those projects, those types of amendments, accordingly as it got more complex and broader.
I'm sorry, I can give you a half about this, and like Chris, Tim, or Eileen, or Steve, is about the amount of staff time that's going to be necessary to devote to these between now and the adoption of the plan, whether this is requiring the staff to do much work that they wouldn't otherwise have to do.
Okay. I'll ask Steve to address this. So we did ask Jim Hutzelman prepared for us a sort of an analysis of what's in-house at the moment, because we are going to be putting those up on the website to let you know exactly which ones we've been asked by DEP to make recommendations upon. I will tell you from my perspective, Steve can do it better, but it's taking up a lot of staff time. In fact, it's pretty much eating up all of Jim's time and a lot of Steve's time. And then we've been having meetings here. We had a meeting, one meeting with DEP last week that went from 10 till 2, I think, Steve?
It was long.
Yeah, it was long. Mm-hmm. But Steve, if you want to elaborate on that, say, the extent of the time from your unit.
Yeah, in terms of now until final adoption, the focus is primarily on limited to those projects that have already gone through DEP review, and we're just providing recommendations or comments to DEP in the course of their review. And only once DEP has determined that an application is complete and they're ready to approve it, essentially. So that has substantially reduced the number of reviews. We're avoiding getting involved, although it would be beneficial over time to get involved early in the process. Right now, we're just really at the end of the process. There's about four site-specific projects that are high priorities that DEP has already reviewed. The area-wides take substantially more time than the site-specific projects. We are grateful to the committee to provide some reduction in terms of the scope of the reviews that we're going to conduct at this time, although it's anticipated that that will potentially expand in the future. So right now we're trying to minimize our staff investment through both prioritization and limited, very strategic reviews in the near term. But it probably takes, right now an area-wide plan can take 2 weeks. A site-specific plan can take anywhere from 2 days to 5 days, depending upon the complexity of the issues and the level of review by council. The thresholds are very important, because if we can get the little things out of the way, that will substantially compress or reduce the staff time requirements if we don't have to go through committee and or council review, just report on the finding.
Mr. Chairman, if I understand this correctly, the DEP will submit the new water quality management plan to us for review after the DEP has essentially completed its review and given its approval to it, and we simply confirm that or affirm that, or are we in a position to say something contrary otherwise?
Yeah, no, the DEP is obligated to go out for public comment before they make any final determination, including interagency review. That's their standard operating procedure. So we're just part of that interagency review. We're providing comments with regard to the consistency of that proposal based upon the policies and standards in the draft plan.
But and our comments to them until we adopt a plan are advisory.
Correct.
So I question whether this is a valued use of the staff time, given where we are and all the work to have the plan.
Well, we will say if you did adopt the threshold approach, right. It would certainly give limit the involvement of time.
That's what I was trying to understand. Is how, yeah. I mean, it limits it to how much time is still going to be devoted to this. Is that a small amount or sounds more than negligible?
It's more than negligible, yeah. Whatever way we do it, but it would certainly be preferable from our perspective if we could get some of the simpler ones off the table quicker, get the responses out to DEP, and focus on the ones that are of major concern, particularly like, for example, the town-wide ones, the area-wide ones.
We did have a lot of conversation about that, Mr. Chairman, and I think we tried to strike a balance between making sure that we exercise our obligation to review these things so that they don't have a negative impact on the Highlands and to move the administrative process forward, recognizing that we'll obviously have a greater role and a greater responsibility once the plan is adopted and it becomes a mandatory checkoff. But I do think our input influences the decision making, and so I think that the thresholds strike that balance for the time.
Thresholds are geographic. A municipal plan, for example, is of less significance in its impact on the Highlands than a regional plan or an area-wide plan.
The thresholds are based upon the scope or ramifications of the application. So minor corrections, which are often paperwork and that type of thing, are, we're saying the staff should just look at them and inform us as they go along and deal with those by themselves, and then you scale up to where you have an area wide, which is like Mansfield was one of the ones we reviewed as an example. The entire town is involved in that, and that clearly is something the council will be involved in.
So the thresholds leave it. The staff is still reviewing everything, but the council's has both the committee and the full council have less, fewer, a smaller number to review.
Right.
If the council reviews all of them, it does take up staff time as well to have
some direction. I'm like, well, yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'm just, so the staff time is still essentially the same, except
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what you're saying.
Right. I don't. I don't think we have the latitude to not review once these are referred to us. One, they're required. DEP is required by their Highlands rules and by the Water Quality Planning Act to refer these to us for comment. So. One of our responsibilities to do that. So I don't know that the option of simply turning a blind eye to them is on the table.
Well, I don't think we're not suggesting that. What we're looking for is a streamlined way for the staff to deal with these issues, depending on the threshold.
But I guess, I know the committee put a tremendous amount of time into this, so I don't mean to second guess it, but I guess from my point of view, I think it would be good to keep an eye on this and for you to report back to us if this gets to be, seem onerous for the staff, or onerous is the wrong word, seem like it's going to unnecessarily delay the adoption of the plan. Because I assume if we wanted to, we could send the letter to DEP saying, thank you for answering for our comments, we have no comments at this time. Well, we have no comments until we adopt the plan.
That's not a blind eye.
Right. It's sort of what you're proposing to do with exemptions.
One eye closed and a cockeyed glance. But I mean, I think these are fairly significant actions, and they are small enough in their scope right now that it's reasonable to try to deal with them. If we're concerned about overall staff allocation of their time and effort to a whole range of activities, then we might want to look at that. But I think we've tried to structure something here that balances that. Need to look at these to make sure that they're not having a significant impact and not to get caught up in things that are minor, of little consequence, and to let the staff put as minimal amount of time as appropriate in that.
And I see the difficulty, too, in trying to determine to what extent a smaller plan, a smaller geographical area plan, might be allowed to be given a pass, so to speak. But when the same issue arises on a larger scale, we really should be consistent, and so that's some difficulty.
And that was very much the benchmark we tried to work with, Jack, was, how will this type of action, this type of activity affect the plan, affect the goals of what we're trying to do? So, for example, some of these will deal with pre-existing uses that are in place right now, and those are the ones that we tried to really just give a pass to.
We also have set up a standardized, working with the committee, a standardized process so that they will be all treated in the same manner, because they'll go through a sort of checklist approach. So it's not as if you know, we'll just say, if that one looks good, they still have to go through the procedures and the process that's been established by the committee at this point in time and then by the council.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment from the phone here?
Please.
This is Tracy speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I think that there was more time up front spent on this by the staff in order to organize this. And the checklist that Eileen mentioned, I think, organized very well the process for this review. And the committee did spend time in discussing what these various, under these various thresholds, what the staff would be looking at. So time would be spent in a focused way. And I think that we came to a pretty good understanding about how to make this very efficient. So I support that we do these reviews, that we have a responsibility to do these reviews. That sometimes we have valuable information that could be very important in DEP's decision-making on these plans. But I think that we have pretty well worked out, and I'm sure we'll continue to fine-tune a process that's very efficient so we are not wasting time and getting diverted. And I think it's very good that a discussion happened with DEP to try to limit the number of projects that we must look at while we're in this period of time before adoption of the final plan.
Thanks. Other comments on this?
A question. Refresh my memory from our discussion last month. What you laid out in this report, this is an interim process just until we adopt the plan?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. And also, related but somewhat unrelated, are we going to comment on these revised, what is it that the DP has out for comment on giving wastewater management planning authority to the counties?
The rules, the water quality management planning rules.
Are we as council going to comment on that, or how? And you don't have to even answer as much as I'm raising the issue today, and I don't know if we talked about it. This occurred to me while I was looking.
We didn't get that far in our conversations.
I just want to reiterate my position, which is I don't believe we should be making comments on exempt applications. I think the legislature intended certain things to be exempt, but because they wanted them to be exempt, whatever their reasons were, they happened. And I think that there's 8 pages that we were just given from the ethics office telling us why elected officials can't participate in discussions here about anything in their home districts, yet we can influence the DEP on an exempt application. And it just doesn't sit well. I know I'm in the minority on this. But we waste staff time, and I don't think it was legislative intent. If they wanted us to comment on churches, they would have said churches are not exempt in the Act. It doesn't say that.
Well, there's some part of this that recommendation for me that dealt with exempt projects.
Anyways, we went, Mr. Chairman, we've asked legal counsel for guidance on what the scope of what we ought to be reviewing is as far as the exempt projects, how we ought to review them, and so the recommendations that are in there are the ones that may reflect that. Try to meet, you know, all the other stuff, other considerations.
Other comments on this? The Agriculture Committee.
Yes, we actually did not convene in a formal way, but through modern technology, telephone, and emails, we reviewed an application that we received from Sussex County, from the Sussex County Agricultural Development Board, one of our agricultural grants. They're seeking a total of $20,000 over 2 years, $10,000 a year, to help fund a development of a kitchen, if you will, to create value-added products. Value-added is one of the big buzzwords in the industry. All the professionals are saying value adds, so you can make more money. Take that plum tomato and the cilantro and your jalapeno peppers and turn it into a salsa. So what Sussex County wants to do is provide smaller operations or operations that have an idea that want to play with a recipe or see if there's a basis for investing in their own kitchen, a place to start that's board of health approved, that has facilities for them to try some value adding and get it out on the market and see if it works and then continue with their own operation. So it's a, we reviewed it. We're recommending it to the council today for approval. There is a resolution in your packet. Be happy to entertain any questions anybody might have. All the conditions reflect the conditions that we placed on earlier applications for grants in terms of verification, the appropriate proportion of money is being used for highlight producers, etc.
Well, that's the next item on the agenda, so let's sort of represent that. Does someone like to move the resolution?
I'll move the resolution.
I'll second.
Kurt just explained it. People have questions. The councilors have questions or comments?
I have a question. Are we talking about a grant to this is essentially a private entity or to a governmental entity?
Well, by law, we have to provide the grants to government entities. So Sussex County, through the Sussex County Agricultural Development Board, and my understanding is they're creating a wholly owned entity by the government, an LLC, that's going to operate this kitchen.
Nonprofit LLC.
Well, it's going to be a government LLC if there's such a thing, or it's going to be a wholly owned nonprofit. I can tell you that we can only from talking into
what
they've made.
Well, we're giving the grant to Sussex County CAPD.
That's such a question.
Yes.
That's what we have for us.
And what percent of the cost of this whole thing is our money? We're trying to get a piece of it, I guess.
Well, we brought Kim here if you had questions to ask. Okay. Do you want to sit up, Kim?
Sure.
Okay. It's $10,000 a year, and the Sussex County Technical School is letting them use the kitchen off-peak hours, and the Sussex County CADB is giving $15,000 to it, and the Sussex County Board of Agriculture is pledging another $5,000. So that's it. We're about a third.
But who will actually be doing it? I think that's what we're trying to. What group will actually be?
It'll be a cooperative LLC, a cooperative group to do it.
The results of which will be made available to the general farmers everywhere?
Yes. It's Highlands Region available. They're going to be, the cooperative is going to be working with the Sussex County Farmland Preservation, Rutgers Cooperative Extension of Sussex County Vo-Tech School, Rutgers Innovative Food Center, the Food Shed Alliance, the New Jersey Department of Agriculture, and the Sussex County Economic Development. We're going to be working together on this.
I think the amount of money we're talking about is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody doesn't have $10,000.
And if this it works well, there are other technical schools and counties that might be
interested. Yes, and that I think is the key where this is going to be extrapolated.
Exactly.
This would be the first mistake.
We've stipulated that they provide the council with samples.
Okay.
I mean, if they're good.
I provide samples to the Ethics Commission, too. Thank you. Members of the public have comments on this resolution? Okay. Then, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Glenn abstains. Okay. All right. Next, we turn to the three resolutions and three studies that were referred to, that I referred to in Plan Development Committee has discussed them, and other committees have as well, in some cases, the TDR Committee. So Eileen, present them one at a time.
Thank you, Chair. We could start off with the TDR real estate analysis. You have the resolution in front of you, and we have Jeff LaJava here, who's the staff lead on this. If you have any questions, if you like, you could give a synopsis to start with, and then, if that's your pleasure, if you want to make a motion first.
I'll move it. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Thank you,
Jim. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the proposed contract with Integra Realty Resources is to deal with four items. It's a contract on a time and materials as needed basis for costs not to exceed $35,000 as a limited term of 3 months at this time. The main purpose of the contract, and many of you have this memo in your packets, is item number two, is assisting the council in developing the method for identifying commercial market adjustment factors. We've worked in-house to develop market adjustment factors as part of our allocation of TDR credits to sending zone property owners. We've done that work in-house, utilizing Mod 4 tax assessment data that is available for it's publicly available information and is utilized statewide and is maintained by the Division of Taxation at the Treasury Department. The Mod 4 data for commercial properties is not necessarily in a form that we can develop. We use the same method as we did for developing our residential market adjustment factors, and as such, we need to reach out to a firm with experience dealing with commercial markets, understanding the North Jersey real estate commercial market, and how we can develop the methodology to come up with similar market adjustment factors that we will use in our allocation process. So that's item number two under their contract. The other thing is we will work with Integra to compare the results of the work that we've done in-house with their knowledge of the Highlands region real estate markets to basically test the market adjustment factors that we have determined. They will also examine relative differences in the average unit values of different land uses. So, for example, average values of an apartment versus a detached single-family home on 10 acres versus how that relates to commercial development. And that information will be utilized by the staff in developing what we call our end-use factors. Again, another component of our allocation process. And finally, they will help us in establishing what the minimum credit value will be for the TDR program. The council is charged under Section 13G of the Act with coming up with the initial credit price or credit value. And so we will tap into their expertise and, again, their knowledge of the Northern New Jersey real estate market to help us determine what that minimum value is. Understanding that there's a balancing going on, we need to have a sufficient credit value or credit price so that we are getting sufficient dollars back to landowners who've lost land equity because of the Act, and at the same time not have those credit prices be so high that we undermine project economics for those projects that are going to be developed and eventually our TDR receiving zones. So those are the four primary areas that are going to be covered under this contract. We had gone out for an RFQ back in December, received a proposal from Integra. They were the only one who did submit a proposal to us. We worked with them to develop this generalized scope, again, on an as-needed basis. We brought this before the TDR Committee, Plan Development, and Budget and Finance, which have all approved the contract for the Council's full consideration. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Almost every member of the Council is on a committee to discuss this. Questions or comments from members of the public? Yes, sir.
One question for you. Jeff, is this the same outfit that you had that came in to us and told the group of landowners how the TDR program was going to work?
It is, Mr. Klump. We did the stakeholder meetings that you attended. Yeah. It is the same organization or same entity that's been helping us previously. We went out for a new contract, went out publicly for it. They were the only firm that bid on that contract, and so we would are recommending to move forward with them again. And they have certainly have expertise in what we have done to date, and they would be building on that knowledge.
Because at the end of that meeting, it was supposed to be a two-hour meeting, and it ended up being about a six-hour meeting. And you and I think Mr. Borden was there, and nobody could come up with the answers. So are we got a company that doesn't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or I know it's the only company that bid on this. But are we just satisfying something that's.
No, sir. Actually, when that meeting occurred, which I believe was back in February or March of 06, we were just at the outset of developing and working through development of the program. So they had just come into, the process. At that point, we're now almost a year and a half later. We've developed our allocation process, and we would be working with them to kind of finalize that, test the methods that we've done, and then we'll be rolling that out for public review and comment later on this year.
My sense is that you and the rest of the staff have been very satisfied with the work they've done.
Yes.
They've found that very useful.
Yes.
Other comments? Yes.
I would just want to recommend that we don't spend any further money on the TDR program until we get to the point where the TDR program is developed sufficiently and takes into consideration a full build-out analysys, specifically identifies receiving zones and the density change that we expect to occur there, balances it in the build-out analysis. So that's the time that that's completed. This seems relatively minor in the overall TDR program, yet I'm not seeing the point of spending any further money on it until the rest of the program is completed.
Other comments? I think just for we're recording the meeting, so why don't you say your name just for that.
David Schoenck, and I recall, Mr. Weingart, reading your certification on the OPF lawsuit, where you said it took years to develop one in the pipeline, and you hope to have one, a plan by September, whatever it was. Also, the Deputy Attorney General who testified, offered testimony in the same OPF case, that it took 7 to 10 years or 9 to 10 years to develop a plan in the pinelands. A lot of us are going to be dead by then. So what kind of time frame are you anticipating actually implementing a TDR plan? And just as an aside, the DAG, whose name I forget, who did this testimony, said that the TDR credits will not include, will not be based on the 2004 zoning. It'll include the, it will exclude the buffers and all this other stuff. So the TDRs will become very precious entities if I read this guy's comments correctly. And will this be the policy of the Highlands Council, or don't you know at this point?
Yeah, I don't want to get into a discussion of the TDR program at this point. The answer to your first question is really just that we're trying to get this in place as quickly as possible. We're benefiting from the Pinelands experience, so that we're not going to take anything like the length of time they took. But it's complicated, and that's one of the contributions of this contract would be to help us move forward with it.
No idea
of the
time frame.
Well, staff doesn't know. We don't have any specific idea at this point.
Thank you.
General idea, because of the voluntary nature of the receiving zones, it'll certainly probably take 2 to 3 years before we see our first receiving zone available to accept credits. But that's the nature of TDR.
Remember, this also may change with the bill that's being proposed.
Yeah, I was going to ask at some point that we've talked about that, and maybe this is his third time as any. This is a bill that's before the legislative committee next Thursday.
Yes, on the 14th, it'll be before the committee, and this bill is a to change the, amend the general statewide TDR bill, and what it proposes to do is to allow the Highlands and the Pinelands to send credits to receiving areas throughout the state and to bring the benefits that are in the Highlands Act to the whole state. So in other words, you could impose impact fees if you take the credits from the Highlands and the Pinelands. And in fact, it goes further to allow that to occur throughout the state, the impact imposition of impact fees, no matter where you take the credits from. But if it's in the case of the Highlands and the Pinelands, we're allowed to go higher, so we would have the benefit of possibly going up as high as 30,000 per unit for impact fees. Also, the planning grants that are established in the Highlands Act would also follow in this general TDR bill. And this should facilitate us, if the bill passes, in that we will then have the ability to send credits statewide. So our receiving area, obviously, then is far greater than the 7 counties that we're currently contemplating. So from a timing perspective, as Jeff points out, the non-mandatory nature of the receiving areas makes our job somewhat more difficult here than in the Pinelands case, where they have mandatory receiving areas. But if this bill passes, we'll have a much larger field to work with.
That's correct.
But the reality is you need a bank, and you need a bank that functions. In order to have a functioning bank, you need money, and we couldn't even get the legislature and the governor to agree on the Garden State Preservation Trust Fund this year. Unless somebody here is going to buy the turnpike, I mean, nothing's going to happen, and the TDR is going to be a wheel chuck if there's no money to establish a bank to provide relief to people who have lost equity.
Mr. Elsa, I would disagree with that comment, just in that you know, with you're absolutely right that a bank is essential to help the program move forward, but at the same time, moving forward on working to get TDR receiving zones in line on a parallel track, yes, the bank and what we have proposed and what is in the draft RMP was that the bank would serve to deal with hardship situations while we were waiting for those receiving zones to come online. And yes, I've said it's going to take some time, but they're not mutually exclusive, that if the bank doesn't fly, you can't have a TDR program. Certainly that would help. Basically, the bank helps us bridge, and I just wanted to make that clear, that the bank helps us bridge that gap because of the non-mandatory nature of receiving zones under the Highlands Act and the
TDR. How old does somebody have to be a hardship?
It's,
that's my point. I mean, you know, they really, I think the demand to sell TDR credits once they're assigned will be far greater than the demand initially. And I think there's going to be, and that without a bank in place, you know, it'll be the next fiasco. You know, I have TDR credits that are worthless because there's no demand for them, which is what happened in the Pinelands. And now we hear how glorious it is down there, but it took 25 years for it to function. No direct criticism of you.
I understand.
Yeah, I think we're on a different track. But should we have another comment?
Yeah, we're talking hypotheticals here.
Well, we're really trying to talk about this contract. So,
right. Well, this, okay, let me just reinforce what Susan Buck said. I think it's whistling in the wind. It may be a nice academic exercise, but without a place for these credits to go, it's almost useless to define. That's my point.
Okay. Are there other public comments?
Chairman, as to that issue of spending money, I think that you can't play checkers unless you have a checkerboard and checker pieces on the board. We're getting ready to implement a TDR program, and this is part of that process. This is something that is essential to get things into place so that when we are ready to implement the TDR program, we will have everything that we need, hopefully, in order to move it forward. That's the whole purpose of this. This is not throwing money away. With due respect to your comments.
I have a related question about TDR, but I don't have to ask it now. If you're when the resolution's done, just before.
All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay,
thanks, Jeff. Actually, maybe it relates. It occurs to me listening to this conversation. Municipal land use planning is a dynamic process. While we're here trying to put together a TDR program, there's things happening out there in the 88 municipalities. Suppose there is a town who's contemplating a zoning change for whatever reason, and they would be their plans could be congruent with the TDR receiving area. Would that help us? I don't want to say jumpstart. Is there some way we can get them into the process so that they don't miss the opportunity, and we don't miss the opportunity to prime the pump for the TDR demand?
I mean, to the extent
this is really, Scott, your subcommittee, but it occurs to me while we're sitting here having, I know this is happening, I just had a conversation with the town.
We do spend a lot of time thinking about how it's going to flesh out in real life. You know, it always comes back to, you talk a lot of the math, but then it comes down to how is the program going to work, and give us some concrete examples of a town, a type of town, whether it's a small town, a rural town, or, well, not a rural town, but the town that exists today, what does it look like, and what does it want to look like? Because that's what, in my mind, I'm trying to embrace something that functions. So it's almost, in my mind, like a poker game right now that towns are playing. Do they want to go forward first with their zoning, or do they want to hold back something that can be used to entice this program along, that'll help us, it'll help them, they'll be able to collect the impact, they'll be... they won't be giving away everything and allow this program to prosper.
Well, what I'm thinking is they're not even thinking where you are. They're not even thinking about that they could be a part of this program. That's, I think, a lot of towns are not. They're not as far along as...
What I would suggest is, to the extent the council members are aware of communities that are doing that, please bring them to my attention, because we can get them into the grant program. You know, we've set up this $1 million.
To be encouraged about the grant.
Yeah, they should be aware of it. So we can bring them in. They should be astute enough they should have some professionals on board that are aware of it also. And I think for the most part, we're finding that the counties are certainly...
The counties may be, but at the municipal level, the knowledge of this act and what it's really going to mean and what the opportunities are still isn't there. So let's talk after the meeting, because I'll a couple examples.
Chair, can I just respond to Debbie's statement? When we do the informational meetings, we are touching on this. And an example would be Clinton Township, who've asked us to come back and discuss it further with them. So as much as we can, we're spreading the word and trying to get some interest.
That's right. I mean, you know, to give you another example, even outside of the region, you know, I'll be going to Long Hill Township in Morris County that's asked me to come and talk about the grant program because they're interested in potentially participating. And I've gone to the town of Teaneck in Bergen County. So we're getting definite interest, and to the extent the council members are aware of communities that are looking to, you know, whether they're going through a master plan reexamination or they're looking to update their zoning ordinance, you know, that this is the time for us to insert ourselves and to say, look, we have this grant program. It allows you to take to examine and understand, would TDR even be feasible in your community? In many cases it won't be, but in many cases it might. And so this is the opportunity to do that, and I'd be more than happy to reach out to those communities to let them know that this is available, because that's the only way we're going to get receiving zones online.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next contract for your consideration is the resolution on the contract with the United States Geological Service, USGS, and Steve is going to come up and answer questions again if you'd like to have a motion on the floor. And Steve will.
So moved. Somebody second it?
Second.
The resolution before you is for an extension to an existing contract with the U.S. Geological Survey to provide ongoing technical assistance to the staff in the area of water resources in three primary areas. One is technical support to be responsive to comments, to address comments through final adoption, and then to assist in the elements of the finally adopted plan, including revisions to reports as are necessary. The second phase of the project is ongoing and continued development of our water resource element of the plan, including developing a long-range research agenda, as well as providing technical assistance in preparing for municipal conformance, including assistance in updating data as necessary. And then thirdly, the third part of the contract is to address two out-of-scope items that we had previously asked USGS to perform that was beyond their original scope and resulted in a cost overrun of their original contract. On that basis, staff recommends council consideration approval as the resolution as proposed.
Questions or comments from council members?
Could be a typographical comment in the penultimate, whereas, as a federal agency, the Highlands Council is not referring to the Highlands Council. It should be this federal agency, the U.S. Trains. All right?
Yes.
So it's a displaced phrase.
Is it that, or did you need to say as a state agency?
No, we could move it to next to USGS.
Yes, that belongs next to USGS.
Okay, with federal agency. Okay. All right, so I assume that amendment's acceptable to, okay. Any other comments or questions for members of the council? Comments from members of the public? Yes, sir.
Yes, David showed that I think the standards have been established for years and years and years and years. And it's 5.5 milligrams per liter. That's the state standard. Why are you doing that?
Other comments? You
want to
respond to that comment?
Sure. The current state standard is 5.2 milligrams per liter. There is a proposed rule out currently by DEP at 2 milligrams per liter. I'm sorry. The current nitrate standard and recognized by DEP has been 5.2 milligrams per liter, but there is a current rule proposal out that would reduce that to 2 milligrams per liter throughout the state. There were new standards adopted within the preservation area by DEP that led to a fairly stringent septic density requirements, as you're well aware, and that there's an obligation for the council to establish a equivalent septic density within the planning area that we are currently in process and will be proposing as an addendum to the RMP prior to final adoption. No, currently there are no proposed standards within the planning area in the RMP. They have not come out yet, and there's been no recommendation presented to council at this time or committee.
Would this contract help the council develop the standards for
the planning? The USGS did provide a degree of technical analysis, which led to establishing background nitrate concentrations, which was in the RMP, as well as technical support on establishing nitrate densities or septic densities, and they were instrumental in providing that technical analysis in support of that element of the RMP. But they have not made any recommendations on nitrate dilution.
Any further comments or questions?
Sorry,
yes.
So nobody's really determined is that you need to have this change in the concentration that just picked out of the air?
Can somebody repeat that question?
It was saying that nobody's determined whether there needs to be a standard, it was just picked out of the air. That was the question.
Sounds like,
but I'm not sure how this is getting relevant to this contract at this point.
Right,
I don't think that's what Steve was saying. We don't need to get into that at this point. Unless
Steve, what you're good. Saying is that you feel you need to do work independent from what the DEP is doing to determine our own conclusions on nitrate concentration.
Yes, to keep in mind that the DEP standard is just that, it's a nitrate concentration. It does not impose a septic density as a result of that. So part of our charge is to establish that density within areas that are not served by wastewater treatment facilities and as such are supported by on-site septic systems. So part of the element of the final adoption of the RMP will be those densities that are based upon nitrate concentrations that are protective of drinking water and surface and groundwater quality.
Council, ready to vote?
One question.
Yes. We're not really looking for questions as much as whether you think we should vote for or against this resolution. But go ahead.
Well, didn't the EP impose an 88 and a 25-acre restriction because of the nitrates?
I think we can discuss this after the meeting. It's not, I don't think it's particularly germane to this resolution at this point, so I'd like to move on to the resolution. And we can provide you information about that later on. Members ready to vote? Okay, all those in favor of the resolution?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Okay.
Thank you. And the third item under number 10 is the regional planning system.
Right. In this case, what I'm going to do is just update you on the progress because this isn't ripe for action at this particular meeting. We did put out a request for qualifications for this contract, and the cutoff in terms of getting those submittals to us was at noon today. We have received three submittals, so staff are going to sit down and go over those submittals
and we will get back to the council with a recommendation. This is where we had asked for a special meeting to be held on June 14th in anticipation of this occurring, and we've asked the council members, and we currently have 9 who are available to come to the actual meeting, and 1 at this point in time who will phone in, so that's 10. There may be changes to that as we proceed, but we will work on that, and we have a recommendation to you. We will send it out to you in advance of the meeting.
The recommendation will be the agenda for that meeting be only this one contract.
That is what I am anticipating, yes. John, will this be reviewed by the Plan Development Committee before that?
No, what the Plan Development Committee discussed whenever we met last week was that we, in the interest of trying to get this done as quickly as possible, we were comfortable referring it to the full council.
We would participate in that.
So, and I would ask them, if other members are able to either be here or call in, that would be great. And for the members of the public, just know that the meeting next Thursday at 3 o'clock, this will be the only item on the agenda, and the council will discuss the qualifications of the 3 applicants in an executive session, but then we'll vote in public. Okay, the last item before public comments is a resolution concerning a code of ethics. Let me say there are 2 items related to ethics. Council had directed the staff to ask the State Ethics Commission for a clarification of the ruling about when members need to recuse themselves. And we have in our packet the State Ethics Commission's response. We're not going to discuss that at this time because staff, Tom in particular, want to review that more clearly. I think it's fair to say that anyone who's read the response does not find it particularly adequate at this point. But this other matter that we do need to discuss now is that we are required to adopt a code of ethics.
By the way, you've handled the other matters. If you'd like to put a motion on the floor, and then we can discuss it, and Tom will take you through that.
There's a resolution in our packet to adopt the Uniform Code of Ethics.
Shall we move
that? Okay.
Thank you. Tom will explain.
Yes. This resolution, a similar resolution was passed by the council to establish a Highlands Council Code of Ethics back in February of 2005. There was subsequently was a state act adopting a uniform code of ethics statewide, and the council members have previously been given and signed for the Uniform Code of Ethics. The end result of this resolution simply adopts the State Uniform Code of Ethics as the Highlands Code of Ethics. We may, at a later time, consider any supplements to this that the Council may wish to consider, but for now, this simply replaces our existing Code of Ethics with the State Uniform Code of Ethics.
Any comments or questions, Council members?
I have something, yeah. If this supports this, I'm against it. Because this is absurd.
Yeah, I try to say that in different words. I think your right hand is separate. By endorsing the Code of Ethics, we are not taking a position or dealing with it.
But this is the basis for this, and this is so absurd. I think legislative intent is completely lost, and I think that this is some left-wing conspiracy.
I don't think the Code of Ethics would say anything about when members have to recuse themselves.
But in effect, it's the basis for this. It is the basis for this response. And in effect, it takes every person who's an elected official and looks and instructs them not to participate in all the dialogue that's going to occur.
Mr. Chairman, what we were intending to do with in response to the letter we received was to seek additional clarification from them. So I would suggest we allow that to occur. At the same time, adopt a uniform code as we should.
At a future time, amend our Code of Ethics incorporate what we think the response should be.
That's correct. That's what I was getting at, is that for now, I think we should adopt the Uniform Code. Should we wish to pursue amendments to it, we can at a later date.
And Kurt, I think we're required this part with that big document you held up there. We're required to adopt that. We don't really have a choice.
Well, who says that?
We're required to adopt.
Said we're required to adopt.
No, I think, to be fair, we're required to adopt a code of ethics.
Well, I thought part when this, we are required to adopt this one, that.
We were allowed to adopt deviation from it, but at this time the recommendation is to adopt the uniform code and then pursue alternate approaches.
Because we're not in conformance with certain requirements at this moment.
It's just our code needs updating. This
office is out of control. They told the State Board of Agriculture that is mandated by state law to have the top four dollar producing commodities. Eight of the members, four of them, have to represent the four top leading dollar-producing commodities in the state, established by state law. Well, then the Ethics Commission told the people, well, if you're the grain representative and there's discussion about grain, you can't participate. So the law said, get the people in there because we need that knowledge to make good policy for the Department of Agriculture. And then the ethics people came and said, don't participate in the discussion on grain because you're going to be in the conflict. It's absurd. I know that got resolved a little bit, but it's the same basis here. These people live in this class two, isolated from reality. And I think we need to stand up to them and say, you're wrong. Right. And I think we need the legislature to step up to the plate and say, we didn't intend it to be this way. We wanted these people on the Highlands Council because we want them to participate.
Kurt, I don't think, again, I mean, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, that by vote, that there's anything in the Code of Ethics that addresses that issue one way or the other, is there?
We need to address, there's our specific questions specifically back to them. The Uniform Code is what it is. It's simply state law.
Can I ask a further question? Is it required that we adopt a code of ethics or this particular uniform code of ethics?
We have to either adopt the uniform code or deviations from it.
We have adopted the uniform code that preceded this, have we not?
It's outdated.
Have we not adopted the one that preceded this?
We adopted a code of ethics back in 2005. It has been superseded.
So it's no longer valid?
The uniform code that was adopted for the state applies to all state agencies, and we are required to adopt that, and we are also allowed to adopt updates and deviations from that, should we so choose to.
My understanding, though, Tom, is should we deviate from it, we have to go through a process. It's not as simple as just us saying we're deviating. We have to go through a process.
The Attorney General and the State Ethics Commission.
That's have right. to review it, so I just wanted you to know it's not as simple as saying, well, we're going to deviate, we're adopting this. We then have to go through another separate process.
Yes. I guess my question really is, since we have adopted a Code of Ethics previously, as far as we were concerned until this moment, it was still in effect.
That's correct.
Will it no longer be in effect?
We are superseding that.
Only if we approve this.
That's correct.
If we don't approve this, will the existing adopted code of ethics that the council has adopted remain in effect?
It will, but it will be in violation of state law because we are required to update.
Thank you. Well,
we break laws all the time. We didn't get the draft regional master plan out of time, and it was all right to break that law. We'll break another law. I'm voting no today. This is ridiculous.
I can't wait to see the newspaper article.
I got nothing.
You have a resolution to break no. So, are there other comments on this code of ethics?
Yes, let's pass it.
Okay. Other comments from members of the council? Members of the public?
Perhaps members of the public should come up here so we can have it recorded.
Okay.
Oh, I was just going to say the good news, and on Kurt's point, that is very true, but they did actually come back, the commission did come back and clarify their interpretation. So.
The State Ethics Commission
yes,
did.
Yes, so there is hope.
Thank you. I guess I think that clarification needs to be part of this resolution, otherwise you're giving yourselves an excuse to not act. Even more than sometimes you don't act now.
Other comments? Yes, Paul?
Yeah, there's no language in here about continuing to work on clarification. I don't know if you want to add that language.
They're unrelated issues. This.
Well, I think they're unrelated.
Okay. Well, other comments?
You can adopt the code, but the resolution should say that it's a high priority item to continue getting that clarification. So you don't have to abide by the code that doesn't fit this organization.
I assure you, whether we adopt this resolution now or not, this conversation will continue.
Right.
It will be ongoing.
I'll be watching you.
Yes, well. Other comments? Other comments from council members? Okay. Maybe we should do a roll call vote on this. Okay. Should I call names? Or
no, we'll do the roll call.
Okay.
Council Member Alstead?
No.
Council Member Calabrese?
Yes.
Council Member Carluccio?
Yes.
Council Member Cogger?
Yes.
Council Member Dillingham?
Yes.
Council Member Kovac?
Yes.
Council Member Pasquarelli?
Yes.
Council Member Schreier?
Yes.
Council Member Vertrano?
Yes.
Council Member Way?
Yes.
Council Member Weingart?
Yes.
Council Member Whiteneck?
Yes. All right. So, we're ethical.
According to their definition.
Yes, right. All of us but Kurt are ethical. But, yeah, okay. That concludes our agenda. We have our next three scheduled meetings. And I say this particularly to council members because I know people's summer plans change. So, staff will be reaching out to make sure these meetings are, that we have enough people to go ahead with these meetings. But we have a meeting next Thursday at 3. Followed by a meeting July 12th at 10 and August 16th at 4. So we'll need to, last year I believe we ended up canceling one of those summer meetings. But
July 12th at what time?
10.
We officially moved that. I have the 5th on July. I know we discussed it.
We did move it.
Yes,
we did move it. And
August 16th.
August 16th at 4.
June 14th is what time?
June 14th is at 3. July 12th at 10. August 16th at 4. All right, turn to public comments. Is there anyone from the public who hasn't spoken to the council at a previous meeting would like to speak? No? Okay, anyone else would like to speak now? Yes, please.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. You may be aware that there is a proposal to run new electric utility lines across Pennsylvania and New Jersey to bring power to the north and east, primarily from coal-fired, new coal-fired plants.
Do they have a contractor yet?
No. And that's why I'm coming, bringing it up today, because this is an issue that I believe is fairly early on. It's not being actively discussed at FERC, but it is the time, I believe, the Highlands Council start thinking about it and to hopefully take a position of concern about its impact on Highlands resources, because I see no way that such a utility easement can cross New Jersey in the northern section of the state without crossing the Highlands.
Thank you. Want to comment? Other comments?
Susan Buck, Oxford. Yeah, I heard about the utility thing. I was hoping the utility company would buy me out because nobody in the state of New Jersey is gonna. I've developed some concern about where the plan is going. I was hoping that at this meeting would finally be a big unveiling of where everybody's going. I think I'm certainly confused. We spent close to $10 million on a plan and we don't have one yet. Most of the people that provide the comments, there seems to be an awful lot of them are negative, and that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. A lot of the legislative mandates still haven't been satisfied in the plan. And I know staff people are going out and telling towns and everybody, we're going to make big changes, but publicly and on the record, we're not hearing a word about that. It sounds like the plan is going to be adopted pretty much the way it is, and I'm confused. Is that what's happening? Is it not? I don't know why we're not. Why you're not more forthcoming was exactly what's going on. I think everybody understood from almost a minute, if not before the plan was released, what the reception was going to be. And now we've heard, you know, townships and planners and all that saying it's not implementable. And on top of that, we're thinking of spending another more than $250,000 on assistance in looking at comments and responding and finishing up the plan. if the goals and objectives weren't well enough defined to have the job done by now, it's certainly not going to be well enough defined to hand over to an outside consultant to complete. But I would like to see something being said to the general public about exactly what the strategy is. Are there going to be major revisions? Are there not? You know, again, our lives are on hold and we still have absolutely no clue where we stand. And there's another couple of million people in the planning area that are suffering what the people in the preservation area have been going through for 3 years.
Yes.
Marion Harris, Morris County Trust for Historic Preservation. I'd like to bring up something that came up in connection with the checklist for the stormwater stuff that the Natural Resources Committee was talking about, although my comments are not limited to that kind of thing. We noticed on the checklist for the applicant that there was no question about whether there were any cultural resources or scenic resources within the area that would be affected by the project. Whenever the council is going to do something that will constitute an act of the council in any way, there is your chance to collect this information about where the historic resources are. The federal government does this in the process of the 106 reviews that you do. They say, is there anything historic around here that you're going to run over, or even that you're not going to run over, but that we don't know about? Here is your chance to get the applicants to help you keep the inventory up to date. Things will fall in the cracks otherwise, but the applicants can back that up. When we suggested this in that particular case, the staff was understandably worried about where they were going to get the time to process this information when it comes in, and they asked us to write up some suggestions about how that might happen. We have done that partly in the comments that we made on the general plan, and we'll be happy to make some more specific suggestions about this. But as a matter of policy, I'm asking you please to think about putting a little section on all of your applications saying what kind of effect do you have on these resources. It's just one more question on the application.
Thank you.
I'm Candy Ashman. I'm a resident of the Highlands, but just as some of you know, I've spent the last 25 years in the Pinelands and the State Planning Commission developing regional plans. And I just wanted to say that I support your effort in reaching out for planning assistance. I think it's important, very important, and I hope you all show up on June 14th to act on that. As I said in my comments on the draft plan, you are the proud parents of all the material to create a grand and groundbreaking plan. Well done, I would say, to your staff and to all of you. Now it's time to have someone. You have the draft. You have the public comments. You need support for your staff to bring it all together into a good plan. This is how regional planning has worked in New Jersey, both in the Pinelands, the state plan, and other regional type plans, so that have been successful and are still doing their work years and years later. So I would just congratulate you on reaching out to get yourself some assistance.
David Shope. On the power lines that are going to be proposed to be run, one from Berwick, Pennsylvania to Roseland, New Jersey, energy consumption, electrical energy consumption goes up about 2% a year. Obviously, people aren't going to spend this kind of money if it wasn't necessary. The straighter you run an electric line, the less line loss you have. Line loss is a function of resistance, which is a function of length. The straighter, the better. If it has to squish a bog turtle or two, so be it.
to do otherwise would be most ungreen, because the line losses continue for the entire life of the transmission line. I recently got my hands on the New Jersey American Water Company's request for a rate increase. They requested 20% return on equity for selling the water that is generated in the Highlands area primarily. They asked for 20%, they got less. We who provide this collection surface for this water get nothing. We have no guarantees from the Board of Public Utilities or anybody else. New agriculture in New Jersey on the statewide average is 2.2% return on equity. BPU asked for 20. I'd like to split the difference. Give me 10. Give me 10% return on equity. Let me know to whom I submit my request. In the meantime, since this act has been passed, and I find it interesting that you're going to the same state legislature whose record on ethics we can read about almost weekly in the paper, you're going to them for relief. I find this hypocritical, if not, or just simply amusing. I think it's time that you bite the bullet and just say, this law, as passed, is essentially unworkable. You've been endeavoring to prove this for 2.5 years now, and you should have proved it to your own satisfaction. Take it back to the legislature, ask them to fix it. That's it. Thank you.
Peter Gonzalez, Bloomingdale, New Jersey. If everyone agrees that the establishment of this council was to protect the water and its resources, and that the TDR program was going to take years to establish, has this council put out a resolution in support of the Garden State Preservation Trust? And if not, why?
Yes, we have.
You did?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I wasn't
several times.
Okay.
I testified in front of the committee.
That's okay. Yeah, right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good afternoon. Scott Olson, Byram Township. I'm speaking on behalf of North Byram Concerned Citizens. Just want to bring you up to date and kind of push towards adoption of memorandums of understanding between your sister agencies, which I know Councilman Pescarelli has been your pet project, but we've had an occasion with DOT in Byram where they, to make a long story short, granted an exemption on safety basis without any comment, without any public input on it. It was in response to a denial of a DOT project which they considered to be a roadway rehabilitation, which was really a road widening. In order to facilitate this, denial of the safety exemption without public comment, North Byram Concerned Citizens, the Highlands Coalition, Sierra Club, and New Jersey Environmental Federation brought suit and appealed the DEP's decision to the DOT. And through the appeal process now, both the DEP and the appealing groups have agreed to a remand. So this process has now been remanded back to the DEP. It has to be re-noticed. It has to be brought through the proper Highlands exemption as far as a safety project, which is good. But I don't think that this sort of thing should be happening. I think if you people called on your sister agencies to put forward some kind of memorandum of understanding, like you've done with the water quality management, I realize that's been legislatively required. But if you looked at some of those other issues, I think that the types of concerns with resources being put in danger before there's a plan in place would be minimized. So I'd like to you know, push forward that you move on those memorandums of understanding. The good thing is that we managed to get something bad stopped here. There's a meeting on Monday the 11th, next Monday, 5:30 at Byram Township with the DOT. There have been a number of people invited. I don't know if the staff has been invited or not. I'll forward that information to you. It's a design charrette to start the process properly to address whether or not this is indeed a safety issue and how that will move forward in the planning and design of this roadway. which makes me, I'm happy that that's happening, but then you look further at safety issues, and it's such a broad stroke. You know, what's considered safety? There's really no defining rules. Where does the safety of drivers come into play versus the safety of pedestrians versus the safety of natural resources? And since the DEP has no set guidelines, I think, again, we're going into an area that's got some great potential for conflict between progress and development and protection and preservation of natural resources. So it's another area that I think if you could involve yourself, like I said, with these memorandums of understanding, so that there are set guidelines going in, everybody will come out better and it won't have to go into a litigation process. Thank you.
Afternoon, everybody. I really appreciate the time here to speak, and the good Lord gave me another day here to be here. But basically, I see some new faces here in the room, and you people are making one resolution after the next and the next. Well, I'd like to propose a resolution, and I don't know whether you would agree with me or not, but all the new people, including Mrs. Swan here and Phil Colger, is it? How you say it? Colger? All right. I'd like you to go back, and there's been numerous, for the last 2.5 years, comments made by farmers that's been affected in the area. I mean, you know, you're going to have a vote, and it should be well-versed to know what's happened to us, because I read a commentary in the Huntington Review where a farmer could get 80% of his value of his land back. Well, that's a lie. Outright lie. That's not so. So with those kind of comments going around, it should be that somebody's got to do their research and go back and see what's going on. I appreciate your time. And if you want to vote on it, that's all right with me. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hello, Helen Heinrich, professional planner in the state of New Jersey. Some time ago, one of your members asked me to present some information about potential clusters, agricultural farmland preservation developments that were successful. And I have put together a report that I want to give you copies of. This is based on research from all the states around the country that are doing this and different parts of New Jersey. It's none of the research comes from New Jersey Farm Bureau or the Department of Agriculture as requested. The report consists of a summary of what I found, also a list on page 5, starting on page 5, of current examples of projects that cluster development, manage growth, and also preserve a certain amount of land for agriculture while maintaining viable active agriculture on that land. And the interesting thing is that there's about 5 good examples of that in the next door community, Washington Township in Morris County. There's also one in Chester. One thing that the council might do is perhaps take a field trip yourselves to see what some of these projects look like and you know, be the voice telling other communities that it does work, and there are current working examples in New Jersey. There's also an extensive list of references, and for two copies for Eileen Swan and for the chairman, I've attached a few exhibits which are copies of some of the references. If anybody else would like copies of this research, or please let me know, I'd be happy to give them to you. One of the points that we strongly support in the RMP is the ability to do farmland preservation, conservation developments in the conservation zone. This is extremely critical because the Highlands Act talks about three ways of protecting or providing fair compensation for landowners, one of which is easement purchase through Green Acres or Farm SADC. One is TDR, and of course the third one would be this kind of limited concentrated development that would preserve set-aside land at no cost to the public. The first two methods are not available right now. We don't know whether, if and when, any money for farmland preservation easements is going to be available. TDR is in process, but we don't know how long it will take, and it's going to take a while to show whether or not it's successful. So the tool that's available right now is in the MLUL. It needs a lot of education and encouragement, and there are some areas in New Jersey that the MLUL and could be improved to make this possible. Also, we need to work with DEP to get them on board in terms of streamlining what needs to be done to make these possible. So, wanted to give you this information. I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody has anytime. And we think this is an opportunity for the council, as you're working with communities, to make sure that this tool works. It's an opportunity to educate the public and municipal officials and to set a model for not only the Highlands communities, but for rural communities all over New Jersey.
Thank you very much for preparing it.
Good afternoon. My name is Andy Drysdale. My wife Lois and I live and own farmland at 32 East Fox Chase Road in Chester, New Jersey. We are trapped in the preservation area since August of 2004. Some of our land is now in the conservation zone of the regional master plan. We, along with many others, are victims of environmental extremists who have led politicians, legislators, and the NJDEP to do unnecessary things. There is a statement that is often made, we need to preserve open space. This statement invites the question, what is open space? Is it the open fields that were cleared by backbreaking toil and labor by the early settlers, or is it the virgin forest that was here when they first arrived? I believe it is the man-made open fields and scenic vistas. Farmers have worked long hours for many years and maintained these open areas. In many cases, their only financial reward of any consequences being the increase in value of their land. If you look at some of the residential developments that have been around for a few years, you will see many trees in areas that were once open fields. If you spend some time walking around some of these developments, you will also see so-called endangered species that are more plentiful than ever. Another question that needs to be answered is, what is an environmental extremist? My answer to that is, it is someone who has an education that specializes in the environment and promotes environmental causes without regard to other important facts. I saw a perfect example of this on the Weather Channel in a program called Storm Stories. Two biologists rode out on an ATV out through the dry grass in the Everglades looking for some plant that they believed could harm the environment. At some point, one of them looked back and realized that they were leaving a trail of fire behind them. Dried grass had caught in their exhaust system and had been ignited. They abandoned their ATV and were trapped by the fire. Fortunately, they were rescued by a helicopter. 12,000 acres burned.
Any comments?
Good afternoon. Dave Pfeiffer, Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'd just like to follow along with Julia Summers' previous comment about the energy corridors and try to generalize this into what I might call extra highlands impacts. Just looking down the list of possible things, in addition to the energy corridor delineation, the reactivation of Stewart Airport in New York State, the I-78 transportation planning effort that's underway right now, the land use activities in New York State that drain to the highlands, the highlands drainages that contribute water to New York, water use and consumption in Pennsylvania. And then looking a little further out into the near future, the rail reactivation proposals that are kicking around for the Lackawanna cutoff, pipelines which cross the highlands region, and air traffic in general. All of those things have the potential to impact the highlands, and I think the council ought to be involved through some form of structure, internally at least, with these, what I would term, extra highlands impactors. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts about that at some future date. Thank you.
That concludes the comments. I just want to say a word in response to Susan Buck's comment earlier, because the process the council is going through with preparing the plan, there are no secrets here. Neither the council nor any of its committees have taken a position on any specific changes to the plan, but I think it's fair to say that every member of the council has some changes they would like to see in the plan, and you know, we didn't know what those are going to be. What was outlined at the very beginning of the meeting, essentially the organization and outline of the public comments, is one of the steps toward that. The staff will prepare draft responses or proposed responses to those comments, and proposed options and recommendations for the council to deal with a whole variety of issues that were raised in the public comments, and probably some that weren't as well. And we'll be making decisions on those as quickly as we can. That's the process. It may not be elegant, but that's what it is. Any comments or members of council before we adjourn? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks very much. I can't make any questions.